Welcome back, everyone. We are back again with another fantastic mompreneur. Today, we have the beautiful honor of speaking with Kim Strickland. Kim, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm blessed this morning. How are you today, Megan?
I'm so good. I was just telling you a second, I had to turn the heater off because, like, you know, well, you know, because you're in Florida. You know, mm-hmm. And below the Mason-Dixon, once the temperature drops under 80, like it's pull off the coats, the sweatshirts, everything's freezing.
100%. So. It's a different type of cold. It's weird. And then by 10 a.m., you have to dress in layers. By 10 a.m., you're in like shorts and a tank top.
Yep. Back to shorts and a tank top, flip flops, and you're good. Yeah. But before that, it's just like burr, pull off the parka, everything.
It's crazy.
So I just had to turn the heater off. The air is back on. And I think we're good to go. All right. So, Kim, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, woof. What year do you want me to start?
Right?
So my name's Kimberly Strickland. I am a mother to my beautiful Anastasia, who is 19 months old. Until I became a mom, I didn't know how to do that math. So she's a year and a half old.
So true.
Did you notice that? Like, before you had kids, I'm like, what is 19 months? I have no idea.
Why are you talking to me a month?
Is she one or two? I don't know. So, like, I just tell people a year and a half. So she's a year and a half old. You know, I'm a business owner and a full-time mom and, you know, a woman of faith first. And so life is fun. And we reside here in Tampa. And so that's where we're at. And I'm excited to dive in today to kind of share more about everything.
Yes. That's one of the things that connected me with you. I saw your posts and stuff. And I'm like, this girl, she's my kind of people. I can just tell it. I can sense it. I just want to be best friends. That's it. It's like sometimes you can just sense it about somebody, you know? I could totally sense that about you. But when I met you, you were doing fitness, right? And then you have now shifted to something that makes me go, oh, life insurance. I already feel insecure. But tell me about that journey.
So to be honest with you, like, just to be frank, I feel like I feel like when God puts something on your life and you don't know what it is, sometimes you feel like you can do too many things and you have no idea. Because they're all things that you have the ability to do. Like, I still am in the fitness industry just like part time, but it's because it's a passion for me. And I have an understanding of how to help people tap into areas to get results. Like, God has given me a clear vision on that. So I do feel that I have an assignment to still stay connected in that industry. As well as it keeps me where I need to be as a mom. And then, you know, I went into the mindset, the thoughts, the power, which again, it's just tabled because I have to wait until I know where it's supposed to be used at. But I still continue to share that valuable content as it comes to me, with the reach that we have on our social media platforms. It was actually not plan to get into the insurance industry. It was kind of just presented to me. And I have a passion for people better equipping themselves. You know, a lot of times people use the traditional words, oh, I have a passion for helping people. And like, I just try to be careful with how I identify myself with things. That's one thing I've been learning in my growth journey as an entrepreneur is to speak with intention. Even in the small phrases. So, you know, in everything that I do, but especially in the life insurance, I just have a passion about educating people, not just people helping people get the coverage that they need, but like educate them so that they can start thinking beyond their own generation. And so that's kind of the way that I've approached the life insurance industry, because there are so many tools and resources out there that have been there for centuries. And we as Americans mainly, you know, we always assume that we don't qualify, and that's a lie. My goal is to just bring awareness to that in everything that I do, and with fitness, with thoughts of power, with the insurance industry. My goal is to qualify you because you already are qualified. But my goal is to show you that you are qualified through the education. So
I like that a lot. Something you just said there, you know, thinking beyond our generation. I think mm-hmm. a lot of times we get in such survival mode that we're just like, I'm just trying to get to the next day. I'm just mm-hmm. trying to get to the next day. I read a post today that I just had me laughing in my car. They were saying, like, you know, sometimes people are, they say, you need to put 10 to 30% down and or savings and your savings for a rainy day fund. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, I live in the rainforest. Every day's raining, mm-hmm. you know? And sometimes we get into that mindset that, like, we just have to make it for today. And we don't often think about what life is going to look like for the next generation, for our kids, which is our hearts. But it's sometimes hard to get past that mindset. Would you agree?
Yeah. And it's because, you know, the more and more that I learn, it's so fascinating to me because we tend to create scenarios, even if we're thinking ahead of like what it's going to be like when we pick the like what it's going to be like when you pick the kids up from school. Like we paint scenarios in our mind. You know, is Anastasia going to sleep her entire nap while we do this podcast? Like we use our bandwidth to focus on those things. And even though it's so subtle, what I'm learning is that same bandwidth, like I called, an accountability partner of mine. And I was just like, hey, listen, like we wasted so much time on conversations that did not serve us at the highest level for the past day and a half. And even though we hadn't talked today, we hadn't planned on talking yet today, like I just need to take 3 minutes to like pull you in to this conviction that I have so you can have it too and to refocus us so that like going forward, we can realign and understand the assignment of what we're supposed to do in this business. So it's just when you do those little steps to create that awareness in those small moments, those small pockets of time, you open up so much space because when it comes to planning and things of that sort, we are so, there's so much information. We are so overstimulated with information. And it takes us to a place that we're reactive. And so when we start to do those small proactive things, then we begin to work that muscle. And then we realize that we can educate ourselves and there are tools, there are experts, there are resources. And, oh, it's not actually that much. I just need to think about things differently. So that's, and it's hard because if you don't do it for a day, you go back to your human nature, you know? So it really is like realigning every morning, like it's Groundhog Day.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Kind of like you're in that movie, 51st Dates, you know, where you wake up and just like, I need to just watch a video and just remind myself again of everything that I said I was going to do, all my mm-hmm. intentions and why I'm doing it. I like the way you said that realigning with like, you know, with our intentions, with what we're really supposed to be doing, because it's easy to forget, especially as moms, you know, there's 100 things that have to get done in a day. And even beyond the day, it's still 100 things that you have to think about for the next day. And so it's very important to constantly be aligning ourselves and reminding ourselves. And even in that, I love something that you posted the other day. And I told you I had to bring it up. I loved it so much. You made a post about Israel, wilderness detours from Exodus 13. And you're saying, understand this, God is not in the business of setting you up for failure for the convenience of your I want it now mentality. He will guide you with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night in the wilderness, where it's uneventful, long-winded, and what seems to be non-progressive, where he is preparing you to be elite, resilient, unwavering, resourceful, chosen, different from the rest of the world, unwilling to return to captivity. You were just delivered just because of fear.
That just gives me chills. Like, because listen, we can finish the podcast right now. That was it, you know. And that's because it is so true. And like again, I have to remind myself of that every day. And one thing that I love so much is that like it. We don't have to. It's already in the Bible. Like that is in Exodus. That's the second book of the Bible where that concept came. Like, yeah. Just think about that. And it is the same thing that we're dealing with here today, thousands of years later. Like it's that simple. And I think a lot of times we try to put, you know, I was talking with one of my mentors yesterday, one of my spiritual mentors, and she said, like, I was like, I'm doing this, 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 and this. And like, I just feel like I need to do better because, like, you know, I'm waiting for God's provision and I'm waking up at 5 to read my Bible and then I'm making sure. She was like, sweet Kim, you need to learn how to give yourself grace, you know? Yeah. And it really just comes down to the fact that what the enemy tends to do. And let me just say this. Like, I realize that everything that I'm talking about as my spiritual walk grows, like, I end up talking about this stuff when it comes to life, when it comes to the marketplace, because this is our existence.
It is
this is it. This is the thing.
Yeah.
It all applies. If we try to remove it or talk around it, we're just taking they're empty principles, right? So what the enemy tends to do is he likes to make us think lack. So he likes to make us think as mompreneurs that we're doing it alone, that we're by ourselves. You know, he likes to make us think, he likes to make us think that we're not doing it enough and we're not doing it efficient enough. And like, that's a lie because our walks are partnered with God. So it's like, okay, God, well, this is my stop. I'm out of resources. So I'm going to let you go ahead and take it from here. Even if it's something small, but Anastasia didn't sleep last night. Like, I don't know if she found a half a cup of my coffee around the house or something, but she was like bouncing. Like, I put her in the bed because her cry is like a wail. Like, and it's like a constant tone until I acknowledge her. So I put her in the bed and she's like kicking me in the face, bouncing. Like, and I'm like, what is happening right now? Like, I have to go to the gym in the morning. Then I have this podcast. Like, she knows this, you know? So I'm just like, Anastasia, you normally sleep 12 hours. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Anyway, but I say all that to say, it's just like the conversations like this, this is what allows us to exercise grace in those moments.
Yes.
And it's fun and it makes life fun because you know that you're walking, you have God that's walking with you. You're never alone. So when we have that stuff, and even like you look at the Israelites and it's like in that same passage, so they went through the Red Sea and that was like their baptism, the rebirth, their reproach from being slaves. And when they came to the other side, they sang the song of Moses. And then 3 days later, they were complaining because again, they were complaining. But see, that's what we want to look at it as. It's so easy to point the finger. But if you actually read the passage, it was because the water, the resource of nourishment that they had before they came through was what was on the other side. And they no longer had a desire for it. It was sour to them. So it wasn't nourishing to them, that source of water that was there. And so that's when they were like, well, I don't understand. Like, this is, it's here, but it's not nourishing us. It's not going to give us what we need. And that's what we have to understand. God is not going to set us up for failure when we first go through something or when we have an element of growth in whatever chapter of our lives we're in. The first thing that we're going to run into is inconvenience, discontentment, you know, because what's happening is our spirit is changed and we don't know what to do with it yet. So the things that used to be normal to us, like, they're not resources to us anymore. And so then that's when we get like kind of short fused with the situation, but that's the process, you know. That's where we begin to turn into all those things that you just read off from that post with the resilience patients, you know, and all of those things, so that our journey of preparation starts there. So
yeah, it's so good. Like, I read that and I was like, it was in a moment. I don't know if you've ever like scrolled through a post and like God was like, stop, read this, you know. I mean, it's really just right there to you. It's just, you know, I feel like this entrepreneur journey, it brings out everything inside of you that you didn't even know existed. Mm-hmm. You know, every ounce of insecurity, every ounce of doubt, every ounce of fear, everything you didn't even know that you had inside of you, it just turns it upside down, just dumps it all out right there. You know, and I've just been in such a change, you know, and I think a lot of us are, because we're constantly changing. The economy is always up, down all over the place. We don't know. And it forces you to just trust in God like you have just never trusted in God before. And there's sometimes where you will see, like those Israelites did, oh, we had some water here. Now it's not the same. You know, sometimes, oh, all of a sudden this is great. But then like the next day, okay, it's gone. Where are you at? What's going on? Where, you know, do you hear me at all? Am I here? And of course he does. You know, but there's a difference between whenever you have it here in your head when you know it and here in your heart when you truly believe it. And that is the distance, that journey that he's taken us from taking all the things that we know in our head to put them in our hearts and really knowing and trusting and believing. And there was a part somewhere in there in the last like 2 months for me where I'm just like sitting there. I'm like, you know what, God, I know that you are physically incapable of lying, of not coming through. You couldn't do it even if you wanted to have an off day. Like, you just can't do it. I feel like if you were, maybe I'd be that one person you decided, I'm going to take a lunch break on, because that's what it feels like right now. You know, like, it feels like you just decided, I'm going to go for lunch. I'll be back later. You know, you just sleep in the boat. Maybe you're not hearing me, you know, and it really feels that way. And I feel like when I read that post, I was like, God will not set you up for failure. He won't do it. He's not going to bring you to a place and leave you. Our pastor preached a few weeks ago about Elijah going to the brook, and God had, you know, just done this great thing. And then all of a sudden he led him to this brook. And when he gets to the brook dried up. And the brook was the source of water where all the food, some of the nourishment, everything comes from this brook. And he had looked at God like, hello, you sent me here, and now it's gone. Like, what's up? And the Lord brought ravens to feed him. Ravens are not a nice bird. They're a mean bird. So he sent ravens to feed him in that place. And it's like, I feel like that's kind of how the entrepreneur journey is, where you're like, I know you led me here. I know you called me to step out. I know you wanted me to do this. And now the economy's tanking, and what's going on? You know, and now this is happening. What's going on? And we're coming up to Christmas, and, you know, all the things. And all it's the like, all of it. But God will not set you up for failure. Like, if you are listening to this and you hear nothing else, it will not set you up for failure. It is, it's just, it's such a strong thing. That's what we fear most, right? Failing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And to go back to Genesis, right? Let's talk about generational. This again, like if you read the Bible looking for something, you know, then of course you're going to find what you feel that you need. But if you read the Bible asking God to show you whatever he wants to show you, he's going to show it to you. And something that I noticed as I was reading through Genesis is that Abraham, right? Or Abram, he left his land, his home, without his nation, without even knowing where he was going. He didn't know anything about, you know, God or anything like that. He was from a pagan nation. But here's the thing that he did, and then Isaac did, and then Jacob did, generation after generation, is that anytime God made a move, the first thing that Abraham did was he would go to that place and he would build an altar. And then Isaac did it, and then Jacob did it. It was something that they did. They all did in three generations. And that's what we have to do in this entrepreneurial journey. It's like when things start to go awry, we have to go back to the last place where we saw the provision in the hand of God. And that's where we have to build an altar of our praise. That's where we have to get our energy and our source and our fuel. And that's what's going to carry us through and give us that resilience, because we can't lean on the understanding of people that know more than us. Like, we can, but we have to understand that their journey is not our journey. My journey is not your journey. Like, the details of it can't be configured into a course, a booklet, a mastermind, none of that. Right. So in the Bible, once again, in the Bible, the first book of the Bible, all we have to do, like, patterns, they're just patterns. Right. So we see that passed on generationally. Like, what I want to see, what I want Anastasia to see with me is that, yeah, my mom's doing this. But guess what? Like, when something goes bad, like, we just sit there and start talking about how the last time, like, how awesome it was when God did this, and how much.
Yes.
And when you do that, when you build that altar there, like, that's going to carry you to the next place that next altar is going to be built. And so when you start thinking of generational things, even with the life insurance, like this type of planning, and you just see the resources, even if you start with something small, as life happens, you're going to go back and say, man, thank God that, you know, we met with that expert and then we got that protection in place. And that's going to carry you. I'm like, well, what can we learn now? Like, what about, you know, what about this whole be your own bank? Like, you just, it makes you, it keeps the wheel spinning, and it gives you, again, it gives you the bandwidth to be able to start to think, okay, well, what can I learn today? You know, something that I learned about having, I don't do research as a mom. Like, I don't know about milestones and stuff. Other people tell me, and they're like, oh, she's really far ahead. And I'm like, that's cool. And then on the flip side, they're like, oh, she's not crawling yet. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, when she wants, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I don't have time to Google stuff. Like, baby center checks in with me every month or so, and that's it. That's what I'm going by. But yeah, the point of it is something that I learned about children. When they wake up every day, the reason that their spirits are so high is because they're excited that they're going to learn something that they didn't know the day before.
Wow. Yeah.
That's
really
that's
good.
That's a seed of creation that God has put in us. That's not anything scientific. That's how God made us. And so we become desensitized to that over, you know, as we get older. But when children wake up and it's like, you have way too much energy right now, and they're like, mommy, mommy, because they're excited in their spirit that they are going to learn something today.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're just sitting here like, okay, you gonna learn. Could you chill? Could you give me a second first? You know, I love what you said. And you said, when Anastasia watches me, you know, and when she sees me, that is such a driving thing in my mind. When COVID first started, when the girls first came home from school, it was March, I believe, in 2020. And we had no idea at that point what in the world was getting ready to happen. But I remember consciously thinking, I was walking around the neighborhood listening to The Blessing because it had just come out. And I'm just like singing it and just declaring this over my family. And I just remember God putting something in my heart and saying, like, what do you want the girls to see to tell their kids about 20 years from now? You know, like, what do you want them to be telling their kids about this time, about COVID, what it looked like, you know? And from that point, all I could think was, you know, every morning I want to create an atmosphere where they're going to tell their kids years down, you know, this is what it was like for us. It was crazy for everybody. Moms were pulling their hair out, trying to figure out how to do school at home, all this kind of stuff. But for us, we woke up and we did devotions together every morning. We did this. And like every day I was like, I want to set today a day that they will tell their kids about tomorrow. And since then, all the things that have happened, the ups and downs and stuff, I'm trying to constantly remind myself, what story do I want to create for my kids and their kids and their kids? What are they going to tell their kids about their mom? I remember when my parents were going through like tougher financial times. And I remember like we never missed church. We were still there. My parents were still faithful tithers. They were all these things. And I remember that. And I knew it was hard. You know, they never told us, but we knew, you know, but they're still stayed faithful. And my dad still woke up every morning and was sitting there with his Bible, reading his Bible. And those are the things that I remember, you know. And as moms, we are the most influential people on the face of the earth. You know, we are always influencing. And the question is always, what legacy do we want our kids to see? You know, and like you said, Exodus or Genesis, whenever, you know, the generations, they came back and made the altar, like, that's what they remember. That's what they remember their father. And that's what they remember their father. What were our kids saying?
He didn't say, now, guys, this is what you need to do. They watched it and they saw that he did
it.
So even with everything else that happened, because they picked up some bad traits with them too, about like not the best decisions because they're humans. But at the same time, like, they saw it. Like, I watched Charles Stanley every morning. Like, when I was growing up, I remember that man's voice is so boring, but my mom has it on every Sunday. And now I couldn't imagine if In Touch Ministries is not part of my day. You know what I mean? And Anastasia, it's somehow she knows how to navigate the remote control if the YouTube screen is up. And first thing in the morning, she grabs it and she skips over her Spark ability. She did this yesterday, blew my mind. Skipped over her Spark ability, skipped over Myron Golden, and she turned on In Touch Ministries, and it comes on, and she goes, yeah. And I'm just like, because I've been doing it since, like, you know, since her whole life, you know? So it's just, the way that I see how I'm on fire for Jesus right now, I'm like, man, it's because I remember growing up, like my mom, it wasn't the lessons in the textbook and experience, but yes, that was important. But I just remember like some of the stuff my mom always did that she still does, the Bible study. And, you know, and she was the superintendent setting up the Sunday school books. And I used to have to go, we were the only two people at church, like an hour before anybody else got there. Like I remember that stuff. And I'm like, thank God, because of all these things in my life, like I'm grounded to something that like that, and, you know. And so when it comes to business, and just what we have to understand is that God needs us to thrive as believers. We are supposed to thrive in the marketplace. Like he needs us. He doesn't need church mouses that are miserable at a 9 to 5, you know, and nothing against those people. You know, but if like any entrepreneurs, any moms that are entrepreneurs out there listening, like God, he needs to refine you. He needs to cultivate you, because not for what you're going to get, but you know, we're in Bible times right now, literally. So like we have to rise up, you know, because there are a shepherd is, you know, the church I started going to, I went and I was like, there's a lot of pastors walking around here. Like I just saw the name tag and I'm like, Pastor Pam? Like, and I'm like, why is everybody a pastor? I don't understand. Like when I went to my church, we had one pastor and there were some deacons and superintendents. Like, why is everybody's name tag say pastor? But then as I started to connect with the ministry and I understood what the Hebrew meaning of pastor means, and it means shepherd. And shepherd, then I looked further into what a shepherd is, and a shepherd has their own flock. And so these pastors walking around the church, they are, it's like the pastor of women's ministries and the pastor of men's ministries, the pastor of the care ministry, and they're each responsible for their own flock within the body of Christ. And so as entrepreneurs in the marketplace, they're like, we're not meant to be a light to everybody, but God is, he's calling us to rise up so that we can get our flock together to be able to carry out what's already written.
Yeah, you know. I mean, it's so good. And so I love how, you know, and shepherds, if you really look at like the breakdown of what they did with their sheep, and even the passage where it talks about he anoints my head, you know, the shepherd would anoint the sheep's head of oil, and that oil would protect them and keep flies away, keep gnats away. Like it's the little things and how they did to protect their sheep. And like as moms, even if you are getting ready to start your business or haven't started your business, as mom, like we are shepherds of our children, you know, we are protecting them from all the things, not just like in our home, make sure they eat and sleep and all stuff. Because to be honest, my kids won't ever eat. So I'm probably failing on that part. So, but like it's horrific, but that's a whole nother talk show anyway. But like, even the things that they're watching, that they are, that they're the friends that they are connecting with, you know, we are very intentional about like who our kids hang out with, who they're talking to. Like if my daughter is texting her little group chat, like we are all texting, you know, like mom's in this too.
100%.
Very, very intentional about these things, because that's what we do. We are shepherds. We are a product of what our moms did and the decisions that they made, you know. Our kids will be that of us, right?
And you know, the interesting thing is that, you know, certain animals are domesticated, like dogs, cats, whatever else people decide to bring in the house. And but you know, a sheep is the only animal that cannot, it will die if it is not domesticated. It cannot live on its own. If a sheep is out there in the wilderness, it will literally die without a shepherd. And that's why Satan, it's all throughout the Bible, he hated shepherds. And all of the men in the Bible that are in all the big stories, you know, they were shepherds. They were shepherds. David was a shepherd. Moses was a shepherd. You know, they were all shepherds. And that's the one thing that he can't duplicate. He can't duplicate it.
And that's why they so attack too, because like, if you attack the shepherd, you affect everyone underneath that shepherd.
Yep. And it's not, this is not just a church thing. Like I said, we are God created us to use this earth as a resource, to thrive, to, and not for our own personal gain, but like to advance the kingdom. we're on, it's an assignment. And now he's at the point to where he's calling people like this. He's calling people is like he, I saw some testimonials that I shared with my Bible study. And these are people that have always believed in another religion, and he's snapping them out of it just like this. He's calling them out one by one. So like, for us that have been here, like, it's time. I thought I wanted to get into full-time ministry. I still don't know what God's going to do with that. But, like, I have a heartstring that says, maybe I don't want you in the church, you know? Maybe I need you, like, out here doing stuff, you know? Maybe I need you talking to people out here, you know?
Ministry
and so,
isn't just church.
Right. 100%. And so when we begin to, it's, like I said, it's a muscle, and you know, and then when we begin to understand the assignment, when we begin to understand that everything that is before us is happening in the spiritual realm before it becomes the physical realm, the reality is the spiritual realm. So when we cross people and situations and obstacles that aggravate us, it's we start to not see the person, but we start to see the spiritual realm of where we're at and get an understanding. And that's powerful, because once we know that, it's like, I see you. I can look you right in your face. I see you. And you're not talking to the person. You're just like, I see you. And you know that I see you. So we're good. Like,
we're good.
You know, and like that, and the person's not offended because it's not that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and so when we're dealing with as entrepreneurs, when we are, because we have to do business in the marketplace. We have to do business in this corrupt world. So there are different things that we come to the crossroads all the time of where we have to make a decision with our standards. And it can be intimidating on the front end, you know, but a lot of times when we keep that kingdom character and it works itself out, you know. And that's one of those instances where I was talking about earlier where, like, God is over everything. Like, everything that exists, he created. So, like, when we learn how to pass the baton in certain situations, the Holy Spirit's going to guide us on how to navigate it. But we're not in control of that. Like, when David saw that Goliath was uncircumcised, he was like, oh, we good. He was like, by the way, can we renegotiate these terms? Because, like, I don't really want to marry what's her face, you know? And so it's like, or with King Saul. And so the point of it is like, there was nothing in his spirit. He's just been a shepherd boy his whole life. But as soon as he saw something that was oppositional to God's promise, he knows that God can't lie.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have to worry about it, you know? And so I think sometimes it's easy because there's so much information and overstimulation and like, we're always communicate, like, we'll do this, and next thing you know, like, 3 hours go by, and all we've done is TikTok. Like, I'll go on my, I will pick up my phone to, like, move money in a bank account, and I will literally be in TikTok and be like, what was I doing?
Like, how did I get here?
I didn't even have it on my home screen. Like, I search TikTok, and I'm like, this is ridiculous. Like, it just goes to show. Like, it takes me 15 minutes to remember, like, oh, shoot, yeah, I need to move that money. Like, you know?
Yeah, I'm so glad you said that, because I do the same thing. And I'm like, my biggest negative flex there is I always go to our grocery store every morning, even though I don't want to. I really just go because I love the people and we talk all day, which takes time. But when I pull up, I always get in the habit of, like, pulling out my phone. And then I'm sitting in the parking lot for, like, 25 minutes. And then I'm like, okay, I've just lost an hour. An hour that I could have been productive and getting things done, but I'm in here running my mouth, talking to everybody down the aisle, walked out with like 2 Celsius that I didn't even intend to go get. And here we are. Like, you know, like it's the same thing. It's the same story all the time. But it's about being a little bit more intentional and really thinking that TikTok will get you every time.
It will get you every time. And, you know, and so creating, and this is something that I teach in fitness, is that instead of being restrictive and saying, like, I can't do this, like, create a positive or a productive non-negotiable that goes with that. So I was like, okay, yeah, I know the whole TikTok thing, but something I did for myself that I learned from the founder of the insurance organization that I'm with. He was like, I'm not a morning person, but if I change my voicemail every morning to today's date, now I have to get up and do it because I'm going to look stupid if somebody calls me at 10 a.m. and it still has yesterday's date on the voicemail. So it's like, it's like something small that is like a baby step. And I've been doing that. And, you know, some days I don't do it. Some days we just click over to that default greeting. And, you know, but that something that small helps me build discipline. It's like, okay, yeah, I'm going to do that. But now the first thing I do in the morning is not pick up my phone, you know. I do, it's just to do the voicemail because it's not, in my mind, it's now like a requirement for advancement. Instead of a restriction, you know, and so that's what I teach people when it comes to food, fitness, mindset, all that stuff, you know, because if you set these restrictive limitations, you're going to say can't, won't, you know, shouldn't, and all your mind hears are restrictive words, and you are not going, you may get some short term results, but your mindset is not going to change by you continuing to let that spiritual language be embedded in your daily action.
Yeah.
You have to change that. So when we know we have the TikTok, but you know, that's the point where we have to give ourselves grace. Like God may be having you go to that grocery store every day because somebody may be struggling with suicidal thoughts that is a cashier. Like you're a light, you're a familiar face, you're a good conversation. So even if you are drinking energy drinks when you need to be drinking water, God, as you are, girl.
Put it down.
But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, like, that's where, you know, like my spiritual mentor, she said, type A personality women and not women, but just type A personalities and people that are planners, they are the most hard-headed Christians ever because they do not know how to submit. Like, at one point, I had my day mapped out to the hour and, like, people think, oh, that's cool. I ran that schedule for 2 years. Like, when I was a full-time trainer, like, so to let go of certain things, do you realize that that is harder for me than this? But now God has given me Anastasia to where it's like, okay, like, realistically, I can't even do it. So, so, you know, I think that's where we just have to learn to give ourselves grace when we flip into those social media comas, and just counteract it with something that God's doing in that same 20 minutes. Yeah. You know,
I like what you said, requirement for advancement. Is that what you said? That changes the entire game, changes the whole game, because instead of, I can't have this, I can't have sugar, I can't do this. Like, I've got to do something that this is a requirement for me to advance. Complete game changer. Because now I'm wanting to grow as opposed to thinking of all the things that now I can't do. You know, that's a game changer. That's a game changer. I love
that. It's so powerful. It's so powerful because you just do it. There's no, you don't have to have a level of skill. You just do it, you know?
Yeah.
And it builds. You start to flex that muscle, it'll build. I'm talking to myself too, because I struggle with, listen, like I said, sometimes I got to be born again 4 or 5 times a day. I'm like, okay, God, I know we just talked 37 minutes ago, but like, I need to realign, like, you know, but somebody told me once, it's like, dear Lord, thank you for this 24 hours. And now I give it back to you.
Oh, that's so good. Now I give it back to you. Now it's yours. I love that. I love that. If I'm walking away with anything, is this 24 hours is yours, I'm giving it back to him. Because it is for him, right? Everything that we do, it's from him, to him, through him, to him, from him. Boom. It's right there.
We're just conduits. We're conduits. Tony Evans says, don't be a cul-de-sac, be a conduit.
That's good. Love Tony Evans. That's
he was just at our church for the men's conference. Amazing.
Amazing. That is so good. So talk to me a little bit about life insurance. Listen, it's one of those things like you said early on, like you feel like I can't afford that. I can't do that. But honestly, you really can. I'd looked at a few policies before and I'm like, wow, I didn't even realize I could be maybe paying 30, 40 bucks a month instead of doing some of those other things. Mm-hmm. I could be paying this and really advancing.
Yeah. And, you know, I think I have a group where I do Facebook Lives every Tuesday. And what I talked about yesterday was the financial planning pyramid. And the thing is like people don't like to have morbid conversations.
Yeah.
It's like they don't like it. And that is something that has been passed down generationally, honestly, because that's what they condition. Like everything that is advertised is about living life to the fullest. Like they don't want us to think about planning. So they indoctrinate us with mass media to not feel comfortable in that realm. But here's the thing. When it comes to what obviously you have to qualify for it, but, you know, there, like now is always the perfect time. You know, it doesn't matter if you're older, if you have health conditions. It doesn't matter if you're younger. Now is always the perfect time because we don't know what things are going to look like in 30 years. We know that Social Security is likely going to be gone because it's like, look at us. Where are we working at our dining room table? What are we doing? And we are, and that's us now in our 30s. Yep, 30s. And
we'll take that. I'll take it.
We'll go, right? So like our young children, what is it going to look like for them?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? And so it's like, okay, let's go back to the drawing board and let's see what's always been in place. Like Walt Disney, JCPenney, the Rockefellers, like we automatically think that Ray Kroc, like we can't tap into those resources. And that's why we have to become perpetual students. We have to wake up understanding, you know, we see enough of the negative effects of people not having life insurance. We see the GoFundMes. We see those things happen. We know it's something that we need. But let's find the silver lining there is like, okay, let's get protected. But, you know, and that's why I'm so adamant about consistently putting out content is because you know, this, it takes 7-8 times of someone hearing about something before they listen. And so when it comes to life insurance, there are vehicles like, your kid has an IUL and they'll be a millionaire by the time they're 65. When your business takes off, you can put up to $6,000 a year, into that, or you can put, you know, depending on how much coverage you have, there are options to where you can just dump money into that. It's gaining compound interest and there's no taxes on it. So when it's time to get their car, when you want to put them on your payroll and, you know, open a real estate business in their name, like you don't have to be dead to tap into these resources. We're talking, you know, 15 years down the road. And like now you don't have to look at your credit. You don't have to go to a bank. You just take the money out of your policy that's still growing, go make some more money and then pay yourself back. This is what they do. This is not new. This is 175 years old. And these are the same carriers that I'm writing business with now. And so the important understanding is like, you know, have the conversation. Don't say when I'm dead and gone, I'll be dead and gone. Like, don't do that because you know that how embarrassing it is for, you know, your body has to sit somewhere for 6-8 weeks, like 6 months. A teenage nephew who didn't have life insurance, 6 months that he had to sit, his body was in a refrigerator somewhere. And then when they finally raised the money for the funeral through their church, bake sales, car washes, they had to wait another 3 months before they would release the body to have a funeral. So like you're having a funeral for your nephew a year after he died because you didn't get, you know, a $20 life insurance policy on it. And it's like, yes, like, you know, me with fitness, thoughts of power, whatever it is, this is how I communicate. Like I'm speaking to the awareness, the seed, the ability that I know that we have as God's creation. So I will be straight with you. Like, I'm telling you this directly because I care. I'm not going to just paint the benefits of it. I'm not going to create these unrealistic situations. I'm going to expand and expound and educate because we need to know this. Like, everybody on my face, all 3,000 of my friends have kids. Like, I mean, that's life, you know, all of them. Like, and so it's like just having the urgency to educate is what I'm passionate about. And it's literally, being someone that is an expert that works with over 20 carriers that are, like I said, each of them are over 100 years old. It's just a goal to protect, you know.
Yeah.
I talked about this on my Facebook Live yesterday, is that a pyramid is the world's most solid structure. But the foundation of it doesn't require that much skill because it's risk management. It doesn't require that much skill or resources. When you build a foundation of something, you need what? Cement, water, a wheelbarrow, something to spin it. And like, you need hands and feet that you can tell what to do to pour that foundation. But where the skill comes is when you start to build the frame of the pyramid. When you start to get up, you have to have those skilled workers who know how to navigate on lift, who know how to, like, they have to have more ability as you build it. It's the same thing when you build the foundation of your life. And everybody always thinks that all the skills required at the bottom. But what happens is if you go like this at the bottom of your pyramid, all of those burdens are going to be on the shoulders of your family, the next generation. And you're going to have an upside down pyramid with burdens, people that can't go to college, people that are not, don't even have the resources to do things because down here, you were just flying by the seat of your pants because you didn't want to have the conversation. And so that's what I want to share is like, have the conversation, you know. If I don't know the answer, I'm going to find the answer. If I'm not the person for you, I'm going to find the person for you. But I just want to bring an awareness to families out there because I care about the adults. Like, this is what I tell my clients. I'm like, listen, you're cool. I love you, but I'm not telling you this because of you. You have to stop only drinking coffee because you're walking in here with three kids. Like, I don't care about you. I care about them. And I say it like that because when you put it like that, they don't care about themselves. They care, but they care about their kids.
It's true.
I need them to act. So when I'm talking about this stuff, like, I don't care about the adults. Y'all need to start acting like adults and thinking about it. But I'm telling you this because I know you care about your kids. I know that you would give your life for them. In 10 minutes, if a gunman came to your house, I know you would step in front of that bullet.
Hands down. Every time. Every time.
So that's why we're here. Like, let's connect. And so, that's why I don't always lead with that. Like, listen, I'm very nice. I'll introduce myself. I'll ask you your name. Like, I know how to have a normal conversation, but I'm just talking, like, I know for the sake of time, I'm talking with a passion and urgency to the listeners out there so that they can understand the importance of it yesterday.
But yeah, but it is something to be urgent about. Like, we're in a place in our family, my grandmother's gotten a lot older, and my mom and my parents, my mom and dad are now both 70s and stuff, and my siblings and I have talked about, like, what will this look like, how will we, you know, what's on, and we've even talked about, which we are going to do, having a family planning meeting where we all just sit down and talk and lay everything on the table. What do y'all have? What is this going to look like? Let's make these decisions now. My husband and I, the same, you know, with our children. I really thought the other week, I was like, man, if something happened to me, what does life look like for my kids? You know, a lot of the fear, and like, as a mom, is if something happens to me, what about my kids? You know, and the thought of having a life insurance plan, obviously, I don't want my kids to spend a day without me. I need to be here forever. Nobody else is going to do their hair. It's really important to me. But like, the thought of having a life insurance plan to me says, okay, even if I'm not here, they will be okay, right? God will take care of them, obviously, but I want to do my part to make sure that they are okay. I even told my husband the other day, I was like, listen, we need to have a discussion. We need to sit down and have a planning time, and I need to teach you how to do the girls' hair. Like, I need for you to understand. And he's like, no, I'm not doing it. I'm like, I just need to check off all my corners to make sure that they're going to be okay. You know, hair insurance, life insurance, get it all in there. Like, it's all deeply important, you know. But talk to me about like what the process looks like whenever someone comes to meet with you for the first time.
It's so simple. So the best way to connect there, they have actually technology and has streamlined everything. So there is a link that I believe is going to be in the description.
Absolutely.
And that will take you directly to my website. And so that link, you will just express what your needs are. They're literally like picture icons. Like, it'll have a picture of a house and say, are you a homeowner? Do you have children? And it'll be like a little baby icon. Like, your kids could probably do it. It is so simple, 10 minutes, and you can find out what you can have coverage in 10 minutes. It's immediate approval with some of the top carriers. Now, there also is an option to take a more consultative approach. And if you wish to do that, on that same website, on the first page, you will see where you put your name, email, phone number, and then you can connect with my Calendly. And then we will schedule a consultation to discuss a more refined plan for you, if that's what you wish. But if you're somebody that's like, hey, I just want to focus on the final expense right now, even if you go that route through the automated way, I still do policy reviews. I'm still going to send you a text at the end. I still will check up on you in 3 to 6 months to make sure nothing in your life has changed. Like, you're stuck with me. Unless God Forever. Calls me home first. And if that's the case, then it passes to my partner in the business. So that's how our agency is set up. So the point of it is that you don't have to worry about calling 800 numbers and all of this.
That's
like
beautiful.
I'm the one that will delivers the death benefit check to the family and calls the carrier with that information. Yeah. So you have an agent for life that is going to walk with you. People need to be reviewing their policies at least every year. And so it's a very streamlined process that, you know, with the link, it just takes them straight to it.
I love that so much. I love that. First of all, it's easier to do business with people that you know and that you connect with, you know. At mm-hmm. least it is for me. I am a personal person. I like to like be best friends with everyone. But the thought of like, if you were to go through something so horrific, like you're the one that I would call. I can talk to you. I don't have to go through 800 number, which drives me insane. You know, okay. You have a real person. Because in a time like that, all the emotion, you need empathy and you need compassion. And that's such a beautiful benefit that I honestly didn't realize until you just said that. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that in itself to me is a seller. Just, mm-hmm. I can have someone that I know and trust.
100%.
I like that a lot. So I'm going to put the link in here in the description so you can get directly in contact with him. If there's any other questions or thoughts and stuff, how else can they get in touch with you?
So I'm going to actually be branching out here, but the best way is my phone number is on the website. So you can contact me directly, but also social media, like on Facebook. Instagram, you know, is people have shorter attention spans. So I share like 60 seconds of something. But if you really want to learn more, there's also a Facebook group that I have that I talk more about this every week. I'm putting resources in there where my team and I are working on launching a YouTube channel as well. So I would say connecting with me on Facebook. The group is called Ahead of the Game, Expert Strategies to Protecting Your Family, Your Finances, and Your Future. I don't know if it's possible to put the link in that where people can request to join and just scroll around. So that's probably the best way to get in touch with me.
They will do that. They will do that. Mm-hmm. Okay, Kim, here's my question. I love to ask everybody, okay? Especially entrepreneurs. This is a big one. So think about this. If tomorrow you woke up, okay, you have no business, you have no job, you have no nothing, you're starting from ground zero, okay? What's the first three things you're doing?
Well, the first thing that I'm doing is I'm going to evaluate where I am now and what's in the way. You know, I did that at the beginning last year. I'm like, okay, I have a 4-month-old, like, I can't go back to the gym full time. And I'm looking at my life and I'm like, okay, what has to go?
Wow.
And I canceled all the subscriptions on my Fire Stick. And like, I spent the first month like cutting loose ends, because I realized that I needed to make space for change. The second thing that I did was that you have to dive into community. Do not try to do this alone, because you are in a place that everyone that's in your life now can't relate to. So you have to dive in the community. I went to the church, and the church that I go to, like, I'm a 2 feet in type of person. When I see somebody that knows more than me, like, I'm like, okay, what do I need to do? Where do I need to be? And literally my church has 7 campuses throughout everywhere. But it's all the same. So like, me and my daughter were driving across the bridge to Clearwater because I had to base it on when I had childcare. You know, they had childcare as a single mom. So it's like, you got to cut the excuses, and you have to make getting into community, new community that is going to nourish you. You have to make that a priority. Like, like I said, a requirement for advancement, a non-negotiable, not for you, but for your children. And then the third thing is, you need to get a mentor. You have to get a mentor and try them out. Like, find a mentor, ask them, you know, a couple of times. And if you realize that you are growing beyond their knowledge, like, don't be afraid to find a mentor. Sometimes you'll have to invest in that mentor. You know, I invested in a coaching program that was far beyond my budget. It was a year-long coaching program, but I said, okay, well, I'm going to ask them, you know, I'm going to look for an investor. And it's like, tell me yes, tell me no, tell me something, I got to go. And that's where you really have to lean on God and say, okay, God, this is what I'm doing. If it's not your will, close the door.
Close the door.
And you just keep going with your plan and trust that God, and he does it. If it's not his plan, he will close the door.
Every time.
You know, but he will always show you where to go, because he commends you for having an expectation of his will in your life. And so, like I said, number one, clear up, trim the fat, cut the loose ends, cold turkey. Number two, get in community. Number three, find a mentor. My mentor, Myron Golden, he says, to be an expert, you don't have to know everything. You just have to be a fourth grader and find a group of third graders.
That's it.
So those are my three things, if I had to start all over again, that I would do 100% first 60 days.
I love that. It's my favorite question, because literally every time I ask someone that, I get a different answer and a different set of three. And I'm like, good Lord. I walk away feeling like I can change the world. This is just amazing. I love that. Also, love you. Love what you're doing. Love your power, your spirit. I love it so much. I knew from the first time I started scrolling past your post, I'm like, this is my day. I like this. I like her. She's awesome. Everything about you is great. So thank you so much, Kim, for being here. Thank you for sharing with us. Thank you for your light. All of it. We appreciate you. Everyone watching,
you.
If you want to get in touch with Kim, the links are below. Kim, you want to tell any one last thing before we go?
I just want to take the opportunity to commend you and thank you for rallying the troops and creating this community. It's necessary. Even if we're not super close to each other because we're busy in our own lives, it's good to have an identity and a place that you can go back to. So, you know, I value your group. I appreciate your consistency and wanting to keep a place for us moms who are out here with an agenda and with an assignment. And so I just want to tell you that I'm super grateful for you as well.
Oh, thank you. I love it. You're the best. Everybody, this is Kim. You know how to get in touch with her. Make sure you do that. You guys have a wonderful day.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Megan.